Hello, 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 and welcome to everybody. Welcome to the Meta Mind Shift Show. I am your host. My name is Tech Nicole. I am Nicole Maxwell, and I'm happy to be with you today. We're talking about the metaverse. Man, the metaverse. So I want to welcome everybody to our show today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for making it to this Tuesday. And thank you wherever you are for watching. Now, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor right here, right now. And that is to, no matter where you're watching us, to like, follow, and subscribe. The Meta Mind Shift Show is a show that is dedicated to shifting your mind when it comes to the metaverse. What do you know? What do you think you know? And where are we going to go with this metaverse that is being built up all around us? Today, we are talking about what? The metaverse. You guessed it. And so we have a special guest today. And I am extremely happy to have this individual with us. We're going to get to that here in a few moments. But first, we've got some things to discuss because we have a whole lot of really cool things on the horizon. Not in horizon, but on the horizon for us as we get ready to head into this next week. A lot of you guys know that I am the CEO of Black Multiverse Enterprises. I am the founder of Blackverse, which is a metaverse community, and I am a consultant. And so my consultancy is called Technical Consulting. All of those things are dedicated to ensuring that people know that the metaverse is coming. We've had a definite shift over this last year, and that is where the term meta mind shift comes from, in thinking about what the metaverse is and how we can all show up. And so, like I said, my community is called Blackverse, and Blackverse is dedicated to the education, training, and advancement of Black people all up and down the decentralized metaverse. And we are hosting the Blackverse Summit. Now, this is our first summit that we will be hosting, and so it's going to be a small affair. But it's going to be jam-packed with great and wonderful people who are out here making their meta mind shift actually happen in real time. And so you are going to see people who look and think like you, people who are in jobs like you are and are trying to come to a kind of cool space, which is called Web3. Web3 is the decentralized internet of the future. It is what the metaverse is established around, the decentralized metaverse is established around. And it is a concept that is bringing us really cool innovations and ways to be free from centralization. And a lot of that shows up all in buzzwords. And so I'll throw out some of those buzzwords so you understand them. Those buzzwords are things like the blockchain. That's not a buzzword, it's a technology. And you also have cryptocurrency. That is a currency that is digital and provides the freedom of being decentralized. There is also things like decentralized autonomous organizations, or what are commonly known as DAOs. You also have dApps, which are decentralized applications, NFTs, which are a craze that everybody's going crazy for. NFTs are non-fungible tokens, and those tokens are ways that you can get really creative and innovative in helping to establish yourself and your presence on the blockchain, and also establishing your community in different ways. If you are a creator, NFTs are changing the game for literally everything. And so it is really cool that we get to be in the space at this time and be able to take part in some of those things. But nothing is more transformative than virtual real estate, or as virtual real estate. Virtual real estate is exactly what it sounds like. It's real estate that is virtual. And so that can come in many different ways. It shows up in centralized applications as well as decentralized applications. So it makes sense for you to know the difference. And so while I'm not going to go into that today, it really is important that you do your homework. So if you are someone who is tapping in for the first time and you don't know what any of that stuff is, I am available and you can reach out to me for a consultation. I do training. I have group events and activities that I can help you with. And, you know, you can have your own MetaMind Shift party. Definitely looking forward to that today and in the future. So I want to just take a minute and kind of go over the headlines. We always talk about the news, or I'm always talking about the news. If you're a part of my Blackverse community, then you know that the headlines are something that I take seriously. So I try to get those in there every day. But we have a lot of headlines. And so sometimes it is really hard to keep in touch with what's going on. I want to let you know that there are all sorts of activities to do in the metaverse. Everything that you can do in real life in a real space, you should be able to replicate in a metaverse experience. Now, whether that experience is AR or VR is going to be up to you and the creator of the environment that you have. But and AR and VR, let me do some kind of definitions there for you. So AR is augmented reality and VR is virtual reality. So those things are ways for people to have their virtual land, but also to provide an experience for someone else. So if you are someone who likes things like voxels, you may show up and purchase and acquire virtual land in a place called Crypto Voxels. If you are interested in AR or augmented reality, you may purchase that space, that plot of land, that world, that parcel. You may purchase that in a place like OVR or a place that is like Next Earth, or, you know, there's a lot of different AR platforms. Infiniverse is actually an AR platform as well, as I was reminded this morning. There are a couple different Infiniverses, so make sure that you are selecting the right one for you. But it's important that you know that a lot of these spaces are out here and they exist. Well, sometimes it's overwhelming. And so sometimes you need a consultant to help you out. I am definitely available to help and assist with guiding you through to the metaverse. And in fact, this weekend, we are going to be having some conferences called Discovering the Metaverse. So if you are interested in that, please tap in at metamindshift.com. You're going to be able to go there. That's actually my link tree, but you're able to sign up. Also, you're able to sign up for the MetaMindShift community because we are launching our community here very soon. I've been talking about this, but I haven't revealed so many details. That community is going to be available. So on my link tree, you are going to be able to sign up. So sign up. When you sign up, that's going to keep you connected to all the things that we're doing in relation to this particular broadcast, the MetaMind Shift Show. And then we are also going to be extending the network so that we can get us into different virtual spaces and you'll be able to participate in those. So it's really about coming together with people who want to be in virtual spaces like you do, because that's one of the problems that we have in these virtual spaces is finding people that you actually want to hang out with. So that is what we're building up here, and it's going to be really, really cool as we get things going. All right, so today we are going to be, like I said, we're in for a treat. We do have a special guest here today, and after our after our commercial, we are going to tap in to none other than Dr. Eric Kelly III, who's going to talk to us about Black business in the metaverse and what he foresees as the possibility and potential for the future as an artist, a CEO, and a scholar. So we're going to be checking that out here very soon. So Dr. Kelly is going to come to us shortly. But before we do that, we're going to have a message from our sponsors because, yeah, we love our sponsors. Here we go. You guys, don't forget, it is time to get your tickets now for the Blackverse Summit. The Blackverse Summit is a two-day conference that is dedicated to the power of decentralization. So if you are somebody who is a participant in Web3, if you own NFTs, if you want to know what an NFT is, if you don't understand any of this at all, and you certainly have never been into a metaverse, this is the conference for you. So tickets are on sale right now on Eventbrite. You are going to be able to go to blackverse.io/summit and get your tickets right now. I'm going to give everybody who's listening to the sound of my voice a special discount code. So stay tuned for the end of the show and I will provide that to you so that you can get your tickets and share them with a friend, because that is what's important. You guys, we got to support the people who are active in our communities and doing great things. So without further ado, today I want to introduce someone who is pretty exceptional and extraordinary in all sorts of different ways. This is Dr. Eric Kelly III. Dr. Eric Kelly III is a CEO. He is an artist and he is a visionary. Dr. Kelly is the CEO of the Black Business Network and the mastermind behind the Black Business Olympics. He is an award-winning, honored, and highly acclaimed artist of over 60 years. He leads with his heart, disrupts with his head, and creates meaningful change for people because he serves. So I am delighted to have with me today Dr. Eric Kelly III. Please come on to the stage. How are you today, sir?
Good afternoon, good evening, and I'm just so excited to be on your show as I've been watching your show, and you know, it's a fantastic show. Gives a lot of great information, and for those who missed last week's show when you did the avatar, it truly was a not only a mind-bending but a mind-changing show, because it only shows to people what possibly can be done when you utilize your mind and you have a mind shift.
I love it. The meta mind shift, because that is what it's all about, is shifting your mind to think differently. Not that anyone is trying to change you, but that is exactly what happens, especially when you start to understand the concepts and principles behind not only Web3, but also the metaverse and how those things can come together. So Dr. Kelly, I am excited to have you here today. I want to ask you, sir, what is it that you do and how do you serve in the community so that people understand?
Well, first of all, when you talk about the word service, many people think the word service is helping. It's a little different from helping. Helping is when you do something that somebody wants you to do. Service is when you are doing something and you're looking at what someone else is doing and you are proceeding to think about how you can work with them to serve them to get to their goals and to their objectives. And of course, what I do, I'm an artist. I draw and I paint. I'm a scientist as I think about things each and every day. And I also am the founder of the Black Business Olympics. The Black Business Expo was created by my grandmother. My mother runs it very well. And it was created to bring Black businesses and white businesses together to do business under one roof. In those days, 1991, it was always said that you couldn't find competent Black businesses. And so my grandmother, who was a negotiator for the AFL-CIO and a negotiator for the Gold Kiss Poetry, would negotiate contracts for Black people with white folk so that the white people wouldn't be upset. And so the Black people could gradually get to a pay scale where people could live on good living wages. And so I went to school on art scholarship. And my grandmother said, by me going to school on the art scholarship, she saw a big change in me. And that change literally was a change of understanding what my goals in life were. And so right now, I retired after I ran Kelly Worldwide for some 30 years, and I draw and paint each and every day. And my great-grandfather, who started me on my way, as he wanted me to be a lawyer. And of course, when you're a kid, sometimes you're thinking about what you want to be, and sometimes you just don't know. I started drawing at 4 years old, so I already knew what I wanted to be. And so we talked about it. And when I told him I wanted to be an artist, he walked out of the room, came back probably a month later after he brought those big law books in there and said, if you're going to be an artist, then we're going to start a museum. And so he started a museum in his house. He had a two-story house. And that museum has been going on ever since I was 7 years old.
Wow. So you are an artist, you draw and you paint. So that is, you know, fascinating. And if you don't mind, I did say this, but I said 60 plus years. So you started drawing when you were very young, four. You were 4 years old. And so you have 60 plus years of being an artist. And so that is a very large category or catalog of artistry and creation. So you have been a creator, creating for this world, producing things that people have acquired and love for a very long time. What does it mean to you as a seasoned artist to see the world changing before your eyes when it comes to art and this interest in art that, you know, the NFT craze has kind of spurred on?
Well, I think one of the things many people don't even realize, when you're an artist, you see things not particularly better than other people, but from a different perspective. I can remember when I was drawing in junior high school, how I wanted to be a comic book artist. I thought that the comic book craze was going to be the way to earn a living. And then as I grew, I started looking at comic books, and then animation came along and people were doing animation. And I realized with animation, you had to draw each and every step of the person moving so that you can make that piece of artwork actually move. And my mind just said, well, you know, I'm just not into that step by step by step by step. I wanted to be just a little bit more fluent in what I was doing. And then when the internet came along, and I know your audience is probably saying, oh my God, he's talking about when it came along. When the internet came along, I was in one of those real, real quandaries. I was a little upset because I thought that right now that the machines were going to take over art. You know, I was working on some programs like CorelDRAW back in the day, and I watched what CorelDRAW did. And CorelDRAW, you could draw a little sketch here, draw a little sketch there, and then CorelDRAW would actually draw the piece. And I didn't like it because I believed in my mind that I was going to be obsolete. But fortunate for me, I got over that. I got over that after college, because in college I was drawing and painting, so I was not really getting involved into that particular piece. And now, as I've gone through the whole internet piece, now we're on the doorsteps of the metaverse. And when you get on the doorsteps of the metaverse, you're thinking that all the art that's going on is going to be changed. You know, I watch a lot of news media, and I was watching how they just sold a Michelangelo piece for over $270,000. Now the museum only got $70,000, and the company that also produced the actual work got $70,000. Now they sold it for $240,000, which means that they split 50-50 from the person who owned it, for the museum who owned it, and the group that was putting it out. And, you know, it kind of gets me to that point of what is art and what is not art. When we begin to see generative art being put in the same spaces as creative art, now we got a gray area here.
Hold on. Okay. Hold on, because you're talking a whole lot. Wait a minute. So we've gone from, you know, you were young and you were, you know, watching what was going on with the evolution of Corel Draw, which I do remember actually, and kind of, you know, this coming to grips with that, right? Sitting with it a little bit. And now we are in a stage. We skipped over a whole lot of different technology in there, but now we're in the metaverse. And that's okay, right? So this show is all about the metaverse and kind of how you think about the metaverse. So first of all, are you interested in the metaverse? That is my first question.
Well, I'm more than interested in the metaverse. When the internet came along, my mind was in a different space. And the reason I brought up CorelDRAW and Page, and I didn't talk about PageMaker and now Adobe, and I didn't talk about, you know, the other programs that we've since gone through. But in the initial offering, I was more too intimidated and fearful. And a lot of times we are intimidated and fearful when change comes. But now, since I've gone through the process of understanding and running an advertising agency where I had to do layout, design, copywriting, the whole gamut, and to draw and create that and do ads, now I'm in a space now where I understand where it looks like we're going. We're going to into a world where it's a twin of the universe. And so with that being said, you're going to also need twin tools. And some of the tools out there are able to give us some of the things that are going to be great for this space.
Yeah, you know, I think that is a thought that's out there, that it's going to be this twin of the world, but I want people to shift that mindset too. Like, so, you know, yes, absolutely, you're going to be able to do everything that you can do in the real world, but there's two things that are really important to me that people know. And one, nothing about this technology replaces reality. Your reality is still going to be there. All of this is a supplement. So if you want to just be that person who, you know, goes and lays in the grass outside, you can still do that. And if you want to go lay in the grass outside on Pluto, you can do that too. So that's really what it is. And then also the second thing would be to know that, you know, the possibilities behind the metaverse are bigger than just being a digital twin. So we absolutely can have digital twins of the world. And sure, there's a lot of different spaces that are already doing that, but it's so much greater than that, because what the metaverse taps into is what I think artists are really honing in on. And that is the fact that your artwork, your imagination, the things that you can create that don't exist, can exist in the metaverse. Like, it can be real in the metaverse. Like, that's the one thing, like, I don't think that people get. But when you're combined, like, it's a really this beautiful synergy and harmony that's happening right now between technology and artists. So, you know, historically, we've kind of been, you know, sometimes at different ends of the spectrum, where, you know, you were geeky if you were you were a technologist, and you were different if you were an artist, right? So now we're coming together, and, you know, you have these creators that sit and live and breathe inside the middle of that and are utilizing, you know, kind of the great things from both spaces. It's awesome. It's a wonderful way to be and just see, you know, just to be near this space is truly fascinating. So when you're thinking about the metaverse and you're thinking about your craft, what is it that gets you excited? So I know, you know, we're going to touch on GAN art in a minute, but what is it, and AI art? What is the thing about this space that gets you really excited? And have you looked at things like NFTs?
Well, the one thing that gets most artists excited is the fact that you can create a digital art piece. And it can actually, you know, be a replica of a physical piece. But one of the things that we as artists, we're not like singers, musicians, composers who can create music and they get royalties over and over and over to the lifetime of that piece of work. You know, many people would say that Michael Jackson owned the Beatles catalog. And many people would say that Prince owned his catalog, was getting ready to own his catalogs, and people were looking at how much money they were going to continuously make. With NFTs, what is very fascinating is that an artist can create a piece of artwork, it can be sold, and that artist can get a percentage of what it's sold for. Now, if you look at the laws of the land, if somebody buys your art right now, they can buy your piece of art right now. They don't own the image when they buy your art. You can still do prints of the piece. You can do, you can actually sell the image to somebody, but they only own the piece of artwork unless the artist and the buyer, or the collector in my case, sits down and writes out exactly what's going to happen. With the NFT, it's a whole nother thing. As they sell them, the artist gets money. Now, if you buy a physical piece of art from somebody and you decide to resell it, and I give you a classic example, there was an artist who P. Diddy bought the actual art. And he bought it from a museum for $67 million. The artist had sold it to the museum for, I think it was $12 million. Now, $12 million and $67 million is a long way away when you're an artist, who you're the person that created that piece of artwork. And so that is probably, to me, one of the most exciting parts of NFTs. And yes, I've been looking at NFTs, but there's so many different ways to do NFTs. And that is probably the piece that many artists like me are looking at right now. You know, probably a year ago or 2 years ago, we probably could have got away with doing some different kinds of things. But right now, looking at the marketplace, there's a distinct way that you have to sell your work to earn a profit.
You know, you've been taught very well the things that you are bringing to the stage about NFTs. And you know, some of that is self-study. Some of that is a lot of it is we have talked quite a bit about NFTs and what they could possibly mean for your artwork. And I do stand by, you know, kind of most of what you said, and that is that NFTs are game changers when it comes to art. And whether you're defining art as whether you're a musician or a poet or a, you know, kind of paintbrush artist, a traditional artist, this space does offer something that you didn't have, and that is control of what it is that you're doing. You can control your distribution, you can control the community, and you can control the different aspects of licensing. And that is, you know, essentially what you said. There are a lot of different options for someone. And so when you are looking at being a physical artist, a seasoned physical artist, a traditional artist, when you're, you know, I say that because you draw and you paint, so you do all these different things. So I'm pulling those together. But when you are thinking about having been a traditional artist and being a traditional artist, you get up every day, you paint. Do you foresee incorporating that same type of regimen with your NFTs? And what I mean by that, like I kind of do. So whenever I have like a life event or I have something special that comes to mind, or I think of a brand new idea, like I mint that on the blockchain somewhere. So I pick, you know, which blockchain I'm gonna put it on, and then I toss it out there into the world. And I may or may not share that information with someone, but I know that it's out there. Other times I just put it on IPFS, and I know that, you know, it's on more than one place. It's decentralized. And so it's being cared for somewhere. Do you foresee adding in NFTs so you get up every day and you paint, or at some point in the day you paint? Do you foresee, you know, kind of including NFTs in that, like a weekly thing or something that you're going to do? Or is there anything that gets you excited about NFTs beyond the royalties? Because there's a lot there, right? There's a lot.
Well, right now, it's a great question. And I can't say whether I am going to add NFT as a part of my schedule, because I'm one of those structured people. And the biggest challenge I have with NFTs is the same challenge I had with the internet, you know, and time. And I think many times people miss that word called time. What are you going to utilize with your time? You know, me painting a piece sometimes takes me a month, sometimes takes me 2 months. You know, and I could do a drawing in probably 4 hours. That's my time for most of my drawings, takes about 4 hours. And so when we begin to talk about NFTs, I'm the artist that's looking to see how I can integrate what I'm creating as an NFT, as opposed to me sitting down and doing NFTs. That is not to say that I'm not going to take some time out and sit down and do some NFTs, because again, I think this is a fascinating marketplace. I think with the right community, you can earn. And NFTs, like my artwork, are dedicated to the Eric Kelly Museum. NFTs in business, as we began to look at, you can do movies with NFTs, you can do music with NFTs, and you can do speeches with NFTs, and or should I say experiences with NFTs. And so with the team that I have around me that I'm working on, I'm putting together, I do believe that I'm going to go into that marketplace. But when you begin to ask the question, am I going to take a time to just actually sit down and do NFTs at this moment, I don't know, because that time issue is precious for art. And if you think about it for a moment, I could do a painting, turn it into a digital asset, and then that could be an NFT without me having to go in and do some design work. I am working on a project that I'm working on three projects to be exact that are actually NFT projects that I've worked on. And so I don't know how that's going to work, but I do know one thing. Anytime that this world begins to leap, not change, because the whole metaverse is really a leap, because all of a sudden with the pandemic, we all made a what I would call a change in terms of being at home and beginning to do things and beginning to accept things more on the internet. And then we began to see the metaverse as being that next level and the next step. And for folk like myself, it gave us an opportunity to see it, whereas if it was regular world and we were not cooped up in our homes, we probably would have missed the whole metaverse situation.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you mentioned some really cool things, and one of those is time. So when you're thinking about time, there is something, you know, a new kid on the block that is reducing time quite a bit when it comes to creating amazing artwork, and that is AI. AI is out here. Some, you know, it started out as GAN art, generative artwork, and now it is moving into AI. So there is artificial intelligence artwork that is being created. And so I utilize this quite a bit. And that is where I take my thoughts and I speak them into existence. And my technology of choice at the moment creates me some cool art. And I say whether or not that is cool enough to have my name on it. But so, you know, you talked about this a little bit, but go in, because I know you want to. What do you think about AI generated art and what it is doing for traditional artists? What does a traditional artist think about AI?
Well, this is a space that is very, very interesting, you know. But before we go into that space, what I want your audience to understand is my feeling about what art is. Mm-hmm. Art is your opinion of how you feel. So whether it's AI art or whether it's traditional art or whether it's something you just threw together, in your opinion, that is actually art. I believe that everybody has an audience. Whether my audience may not like your work, your audience may detest my work, and somebody else's audience may come along and love both of our works. And so when you begin to talk about AI, I'm not against AI. What I am against is to take AI artwork and put it in the same space with artwork that was created, that was actually created, you know.
So wait. That emphasis on that word created after what you just said, there is. So I can't do that because we got a whole lot of folks out here who are creating with their minds. So we're gonna call that what it is. But have AI artwork.
Let me tell you what word museums use. They don't use created, they use make.
But you know what, that's really cool that's a thing, right? So this space is disrupting museums, and mm-hmm. So that's why, because a lot of times museums have had the right to say who was an artist and who wasn't, and mm-hmm. So you know, traditional artists were kept out of spaces by certain folks and individuals who said there wasn't enough of this, or there wasn't enough of that, or, oh, you're not seasoned enough, or the right people don't know who you are. But mm-hmm. Man, when you come to Web3, where did all that go, right? Like, so we have that a little bit in some spaces, but honestly, like, you're seeing people get around that mentality, and I love that. It's so empowering to just be able to see people flourish. in what they're doing. So go ahead. I cut you off, but go ahead and
No. Again, we have to talk about, you know, whether or not a piece of artwork is made by a machine or a piece of artwork is made by a man or a woman. Now, some people would say, well, you're utilizing a paintbrush to create that particular piece with paint, okay? And then an artist who does generative art will say, and I'm using my mind to create through a machine a piece of art. Now, my thing is this. If you have a person that's making art, that is a person who is utilizing paint and watercolor and collages and physical pieces, I don't believe that those two pieces should be in a contest together. And the reason I say that is because now you're putting competition in what I would call an unfair situation. Because you can sit there and think about something great. And there was an artist who this just happened a couple of days ago.
We were talking about it the other day. An artist, and
mind you, the piece that he did with his generative artwork was awesome. I'm not the guy. I don't do critiquing other people's work. I don't do the whole yours is better than mine. Fortunate for me, in high school, all the artists in high school used to ask me to judge the work. And I went home to my grandmother and I was almost in tears. I was like, Big Mama, they don't want me in the contest. They always ask me to judge it. And I don't think that's fair. I should be able to put my artwork in there with theirs. And my grandmother said to me, as she always did with that look, like, let me tell you what's going on. You're not paying attention. You're in your feelings. And my grandmother would say, the reason that they're asking you to judge it is because they respect your opinion. And so that changed my mindset for what art really was. Because most of the times, like if you do a generative piece and another person do a generative piece, then there's somebody standing in the middle saying, okay, yours is better than mine. Okay, but what people fail to realize is that everybody has an audience. And that audience is the one that's going to pay for your work, love your work, and is going to collect your work. And we all, as artists, are looking to get our work in the spaces where people love it. That's why Web3 has been so spectacular for so many artists. In a real world, Beeple, who got 67 million for his 3,000 days of artwork, wouldn't have gotten it. People would have looked at it and said, okay, those are thumbnails. Those are just pictures that he has up there. He wouldn't have gotten the work. But because of this marketplace, and another thing that's really crazy that people are not thinking about, and because of the money that people have, the disposable income that people have, that also changes what happens. Damon Hirst, one of the number one artists in the world right now, is burning a bunch. He did a project called Currency. And I'm not going to get on Damien today because I saw what he did. It was a great, great challenge looking at this marketplace where he did all of these pieces and he did all of this stuff. And then he put his signature on the inside of the paper some kind of way. I didn't get all involved. And now he's listening to what's going on with the metaverse and he's getting ready to burn a ton of these pieces of artwork and turn those into NFTs. Now, Damon is a bad boy. Now, I'm not taking nothing away from him, but here again, he has an audience that loves his work, and that audience is going to buy, like Jeff Koons. And I'm going to stop on Jeff Koons. And Jeff Koons is another, these two guys are considered number one and one and two. Jeff Koons just sent a bunch of his work to space. And when the work comes back, he is actually going to do something similar to what Damien Hirst is. And these are two guys who are touted all around the world as the number one and number two greatest artists in the world.
Listen, so you have just laid yourself out here as not only a great legendary artist of your own right, but you are knowledgeable about other legends in this moment. And so I think that it's really cool that you're keeping up with the space and that you're trying to see kind of where your craft fits in. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the future of art? So we talked about AI art and art that is generated by technology. What do you think of the future of technology and art together, whether that's with AI or with that, with something that is far beyond what this conversation is? Like, what do you think of when you think of the future in the metaverse in terms of art?
I know this is gonna sound strange to everybody, but for those who do know me, they know I'm always a futuristic thinker, you know, and visionary. So when you ask this question, I have to sit back and go past the conversation I'm having now, because I'm having a today conversation, mm-hmm. not having a conversation of what I think. I'm having a conversation of what I perceive that is happening. And I think sometimes what happens is people get into perception and they don't get into what the future is going to be. I really believe in immersive art. I believe that the immersive art trend is going to be what it's going to be. And what I mean by that is, I believe that artists are going to one day wake up in the morning and put their clothes on. And those clothes that they put on are going to have little tags all over the person's hands. It's going to have tags all over the paintbrushes or whatever apparatus that they're using. And they're going to be creating a physical event, a physical a piece of artwork. And at the very same time that they're creating that physical event, a metaverse or a piece of artwork is also going to be created in the metaverse at the same exact time, and which means that artist is not going to lose that time that he particularly feels like is the most precious part of his life. I think that there are going to be these contact lenses that the artist is going to be able to put on his eyes, and there's going to be gloves or whatever it is, and he's going to actually be immersed in a space where he can actually see the immersive space, and he's going to be creating, and people, like going to a concert, will be able to come, stop by, watch him while he's doing it, and he will be able to release all that energy at one time. You know, the word is real time. You asked me about the future, man. That's what you asked me about, you know.
You know what? But, you know, a lot of what you said, some of it is already kind of coming to, you know, kind of coming into existence right now. So we definitely have haptic gloves out there. That is where you're going to be able to put gloves on and feel your way around the virtual spaces. You also have the contact lenses that are being created. And so if you are the creator of those contact lenses, I wear contacts and definitely would love to try those out because I am an enthusiast when it comes to all of this stuff. But the one thing that I heard you say reminded me a little bit of a couple episodes of Black Mirror, and that is where you have this idea of being in reality and creating something that instantly is also replicated in virtual reality. And so that brings to mind things like Star Trek and the holodeck and things like that, and being able to have these things in our digital twin of the metaverse and whatever that looks like for you and for yourself. So really quick, we don't have a whole lot of time, but I want to ask you one more thing before we get off to the Black Business Olympics. Before we go there, what do you foresee? Because, you know, you are the CEO of the Black Business Network. What do you foresee for Black business in the metaverse? Let me ask that differently. What is the number one thing that you would tell Black business owners for their metaverse experience and what they need to know about the metaverse?
First of all, I would tell them to stop wasting time and push fear aside. I think the biggest challenge that Black businesses have is $1.6 trillion out there. And here again, we are slowly becoming consumers to a marketplace that's going to change the world, period, point blank. It's where everybody is going. The metaverse, whether or not you go into the metaverse or not, there is going to be something called the metaverse. And if there's something called the metaverse, it's just like something called the automobile when people were riding horses. People didn't want to get into the automobile. They was mad. It was like it's going to destroy the horse. But people, even today, are still racing horses. So the horses is not going anywhere. Okay. So when you ask me that question, I got to say to Black businesses, you must leap into doing 50, 60, 80 hours on what the metaverse is, what the business is going to look like in the metaverse, and what is the new trends that your company can do with the metaverse. If you're not going to do that, you have to understand one thing. The average age right now is 29 years old. I'm 65. 29 years old. And if you're going to be living in a world of 30s and 40s and 50s in 10 years from now, you will be out of business. That is what I would tell Black business owners. And when you kind of touched on that question, where do I see Black businesses? I see them in malls. I see them in other spaces on the metaverse. If you don't know what we are talking about, please take the time and use two great friends of mine, Google, and YouTube University, and put in the time. Don't get your nephew, your 15-year-old, your 16-year-old, your 18-year-old to go and learn this. You need to learn this, because at the end of the day, advertising, public relations, marketing, and branding, and merchandising is all going to be in the metaverse. And if you're not a part of that, how are you going to compete?
And so, sir, as we are closing out, I want to ask you really quickly, how did you get your meta mind shift?
Wow. You know, I got my meta mind shift one evening. I was talking with my engineer by the name of Mark Lee. And me and Mark was talking about the metaverse, and we were doing the Black Business Olympics, which incidentally is going to be September the 19th to the 25th. I got to get that in there because it's coming right around the corner. We have 145 that's going to be speaking all over the globe. I'll be on another station in the morning. I've been requested to do another show in the morning. And I got a chance to go to a bunch of seminars, and those seminars were held by Technicole, you know, of Black Multiverse. And what happened was, when I was talking to Mark, I said, Mark, I don't know anybody. Who do you know, Mark? And Mark said, Nicole Maxwell. And so I did not know Nicole Maxwell, like many of you don't know her, but I reached out to her. I left a crazy message, of course, because I'm the consummate sales guy. So I left a great message. She called. And I gave her my vision of what I was thinking. And my vision of what I was thinking was a reality that could happen. It was not what's going to happen. It's something that could happen. And by coming to your seminars, coming to your workshops, and also having you to do workshops for other people for me, it allowed me to see this whole space from a non-fear space. Because again, I don't care what it is, anything that's new and not familiar, people are afraid of. And so you made this space new but familiar. And when you understand the why that you exist on the planet, then you understand that these things wouldn't happen while you're here on the planet if you're not supposed to be involved. My grandmother never saw Barack Obama being the black president that he was. Okay. Which in my mindset was not her turn. Okay. I get a chance to see the metaverse while I'm on the planet, which means that I have an opportunity to be a part of it. And I do want to thank you and your company, which works with the Black Business Olympics tirelessly to include the metaverse, but more importantly, to include some of the other things that you do, because a lot of times we don't talk about all of our talents and all of our skills. We talk about what people ask us. And we at the Black Business Olympics have been more than honored to be in your presence.
Oh, man. Thank you. It is a mutual feeling and love, you know, just kind of being able to resonate with you, especially in moments like this where you get to talk about your art and the metaverse all in one. I am excited about everything that is to come. And one of the things that we are pushing forward, or you are pushing forward, and I am certainly helping out with, and that is the Black Business Olympics. So y'all, the Meta Mindshift Show is sponsored by the Black Business Network, amongst many other wonderful sponsors. However, the Black Business Olympics is coming up September 19th through the 25th. And if you want to put your business on a global platform, there is no other network that you want to be a part of other than this one. Bring it here. We are looking for speakers. We have a few spots that are still open. The number is scrolling at the bottom. That is 919-308-9090. That's our speaker hotline. And you can get in touch and get registered so that on September 19th through the 25th, your business will be right here, right now, ready to go on a global platform. You guys, I want to thank you all for being here. Dr. Eric Kelly III, thank you for coming through and sharing your greatness, sharing your art, sharing your
love. We
appreciate you. Go ahead.
Let me sneak one in. For those of you out there, let me let y'all know how sincere and serious I am about the metaverse. What are you going to do before the merge? I'm talking to the audience. You know,
the merge. No, I asked you that question. What are we doing before the merge?
Before the merge, yes.
What are you thinking before that merge happens?
I just want to thank you for allowing me to come on and talk about the Black Business Expert. Black Business Olympics, the Black Business Expo USA. Thank you so very much. Look forward to watching this show. This is a great show. Thank you so very much for my mother, my family, and everybody. Yes, the Black Business Olympics is the largest, is one of the largest business showcases in the history of Black business in the world.
In the world. Thank you guys for coming through. I want to quickly thank our sponsors. Thank you to Black Multiverse Enterprises, Blackverse, a metaverse community, Technical Consulting, the Black Business Expo, Black Business Olympics, and the Black Business Network, and the EE Testing Center the EE Testing Center. I'm trying to blink. And I also want to remind you guys to tap into the Blackverse Summit that is coming up next week. You can find your tickets at blackverse.io/summit, SUMMIT. I want to thank you all for being here. Thank you for sharing your greatness. Catch us next week. Don't forget to like and subscribe no matter where you are. And if you are watching on Spotify, you're able to subscribe and follow so that you can get some extra clips and photos and extra goodies, bonus material, all at your fingertips there on Spotify. And please don't forget to join us. Join the community for access to all the metaverses we are going to be experiencing. And you can do that at metamindshift.com. This is Nicole, and my voice is resting. Thank you.